Nice. Soul on ice. I'ma put my soul on ice. Nice.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, or good night, whenever or wherever you are listening. Thank you for joining the show. You are now rocking with the best. My name is Kwame, and of course, Double Trouble is in the house. Akil Thomas and Elijah Roberts. We have a great show for you today. Friend of the show, JT Brown, is rocking with us to talk retirement and the new job with the Seattle Kraken. But first, you might have read this in the Rolling Stone magazine online. Mega producer Timbaland has partnered up with the NHL with his company B Club. Now, B Club is the premier global marketplace that connects the music creator community with record labels, music publishers, film and television, brands, content creators, and independent artists. And I'm personally excited about this partnership because you all know how much I love music and how I think it's important that the NHL invest in bringing all types of musical flavor to the image of this great game. It was like the very first thing that I thought of when I was making the Soul on Ice documentary, bridging hip hop with hockey, and it worked. And having these great producers from B Club is only going to make hockey look more fresh. So from B Club, we got Senior VP and A&R Brian Berger joining us. And I think the best way to bring Brian to the show is rocking to a little B Club. This right here is from producer Pyro from B Club, and it's called Work Harder. Let's go. Soul brothers, soul sisters, let me introduce to you Brian Berger. What is happening, my man? Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Kwame. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
First off, you need to tell Pyro he is a monster with them beats, man. Where did you guys find that kid?
Wow, I'm so glad to hear you say that. And I'm sure you saw the the NHL Instagram last night with some of his intro music.
Fire.
Yeah. Pyro's one of our favorite producer artists that we've been working with over here at B Club. Tim, myself, the A&R department, Eric, who works with me on the A&R side. Yeah, we've been putting together this VIP list of producers, songwriters, artists for about the last year and a half. And Pyro's been someone that we identified and we brought in closely, and we work in real closely with on a lot of different projects.
That's dope. Well, let's start off with the obvious question. Explain the platform that you guys call B Club and how this is revolutionary to the world of music and entertainment.
Got you. Well, there's two real answers to that, Kwame. There's what B Club is now, and then there's going to be what B Club is post-launch. So right now, B Club is an invite-only marketplace for, again, like I just mentioned, producers, artists, songwriters, to not only connect with each other, but also work on these projects that we're able to bring in for them every day. Us up here at B Club, we're working with major label A&Rs, music supervisors, brand creatives, just to help source music for some of their, you know, most important projects. So whether it's Cardi B at Atlantic or the NHL, we have this hand-selected group of creators that we work directly with to bring amazing music. And then post-launch, we don't see much changing in the marketplace side. It's just where it'll grow even larger. There'll be even more partnerships, even more producers coming on, more opportunities. But at the core, that's what we're always going to be, a place globally where the best music creators selected by Tim, myself, Gary, come to connect and work on great music with great partners.
So how did you all connect with the NHL? Because I know Gary Bettman don't know Timbaland, okay? So how did that happen?
I think we spoke about him just briefly, real quickly. Eric Dwyer, who's worked on the broadcast side for about 18 years now, and myself, we grew up in Brooklyn together. We actually grew up across the street from each other, and we have, you know, a 20-plus year relationship. And honestly, we were working on a lot of stuff over here. And while NHL is the first sports league that we've worked on, we've done a lot of work with commercials and brands on the sports side. And I think it just happened on Instagram. Me and Eric might've been talking about a food picture that he might've posted one day. And I was like, Eric, do you have any music over at the NHL? Because, you know, I watch, I'm a fan. And he's like, yeah. As a matter of fact, Steve Mayer has been talking to us about doing a lot of new things. And I mean, the next day we were on a conference call, and this all has happened really quickly. So this was only about 2 weeks ago. And that's how it all came together. Just a personal relationship with myself and Eric, and Steve was already looking to broaden the horizons and try new and cool stuff. And it feels like the timing linked up perfectly. And like I said, we were on a conference call the next day with Tim, with Gary, with Steve, and we were able to put something together quickly here.
So like you said, NHL is B Club's first pro sport partnership. You know, from your standpoint, how will the NHL and the NHL fans benefit from this platform?
Well, I'm confident both sides are going to benefit from it. But specifically on the NHL side, we hope to do the same thing we're doing everywhere else. Just adding great music to an already great product, which you know better than anyone. The NHL is such an amazing product. It's always fun to work with artists, you know, movies, commercials, campaigns like that. But honestly, there's nothing more fun than music and sports together, you know. And then you throw the speed and the action on top of it on the hockey side, and it just lends itself perfect. So I know there's going to be a lot of great stuff that comes out of it, especially on both sides as well.
I agree with you 100%. I made a documentary called Soul on Ice, Past, Present, and Future. And one of the main things that I thought about at the very beginning was the music, because in the past, you know, I felt like hockey never embraced hip hop music in the way that they should. And it just matches so beautifully. So I'm really glad you guys are thinking that way as well. Who are some of the producers? We talked about Pyro already, but who are some of the producers under B Club and some of the artists that you guys have been working with that we'll be getting more familiar with down the road?
Well, Timbaland himself is definitely leading the charge, and he's brought a lot of his friends along with him. Mike Dean, who, you know, is best known for working with Travis Scott, Kanye West, Tiny, and J Balvin and J-Lo, Mike Will, Rants of 1500. I'm not sure if you've seen the press last week, but J. Cole actually just came on, interestingly enough, as a producer. And not a lot of people know this about J. Cole, but he produces as well. He's going to be part of the platform. And but to your point, we're just as excited about a lot of the guys and girls that maybe aren't household names the way some of those ones that I've mentioned already are. And as you mentioned, Pyro, I saw another piece that went up on the NHL Instagram last night with my guy, Elijah Gray, who has worked with E40, Jeremiah. There's another guy, though, Daniel Davilia, who's worked on Netflix campaigns with us. He just landed the theme song for a new E! Show starring Tiana Taylor and Iman Shumpert through B Club. So we're really excited about, you know, the A-list guys, but we've really been cultivating this VIP list of, we're up to about 750 producers, artists, songwriters that we're really excited about them as well, to be honest with you.
So, you know, that brings me to this point. You know, as you know, the NHL is looking for different ways to connect with a newer audience that traditionally may not have made hockey their first choice, and music is one way. How excited are you all about the partnership, and how can it influence the presentation of the game, especially in the Black and brown and other people of color, their communities?
Well, we're all definitely excited about the partnership for sure. We're in a really good place at B Club where we're only doing partnerships that we're actually really excited about. And I know, to your point, I think very recently, we've seen things like the Lightning starting an all Black forward line. I'm out here in LA, as I mentioned now. So we've all seen, you know, Quentin get drafted second overall. Obviously, you know, Austin Matthews as, the Mexican Hispanic heritage, you know, the league's changing and there's no doubt about it. And when culture changes, usually music is the first thing that that people identify in helping to, you know, change or grow the culture. And B Club, we're just happy to be a part of that change. I mean, and who better than Timbaland to help with the music? I mean, he's been a trendsetter his whole career. He's always been ahead, you know, so no different here, no different here. We're excited to be even a small part of what the NHL is doing on that side for sure.
And speaking of Timbaland, how hands-on will he be in this collaboration? Because man, oh man, if we can get some Tim beats on some hockey.
You already got one. I don't know if you noticed, but the first collab that Beat Club and the NHL did was pregame for Game 7 Islanders Lightning. And it was a brand new track that Tim created specifically for the NHL. Okay. There was a little, you have to go back and check that one out. It's called Manhunt. Yeah, he did it. It was an original Tim beat that we did. It was the first music heard between this collaboration. But even past that, I get this question a lot. Tim's very involved in all things Beat Club. He's in every group text that we have. He's listening to all the music that I'm sending over. So he's very hands-on. He's excited about it. He's cooking up all the time. And again, just to piggyback off the conversation we just had, he's very aware of the conversations that we just had. And we take it very serious. It very serious in everything we do, but especially when you're talking about, presenting or helping with, you know, cultural changes, it's something, you know, he takes very serious, and he's extremely hands-on. He's working on stuff every day for it.
Do you think this partnership starts a new relationship with hip-hop artists, now looking at the NHL as another outlet for their music?
I mean, for sure. I would for sure hope so. I'll say this, hip hop or otherwise, every artist I've ever worked with, the most important thing to any of them is getting their music heard by as many people, getting their music in front of as many people as possible. So I would think that I know the artists that I've already spoken to are super excited about it. It's always, like I said, for artists, for any real artists, and that's their number one concern is their number one thought is to how could I get my music in front of as many people as possible. So we're certainly excited about that.
I love that, man. I'm super excited about this partnership. Next time I'm in LA, you, me and Timbo, we got to go to a Kings game. Let's do it. And do it up in the booth. We'll make sure Luke Robitaille rolls out the red carpet for us. Okay. I'll make sure of that. Before I let you go, if anybody wants to follow or learn more about B Club, where can they go? How can they follow this movement?
Well, obviously, we're on Instagram, and you know, it's just at Beat Club, and I think that's a good place for anyone to start. There's a link, obviously, right to the website. As mentioned, we are invite only right now on the onboarding side, but definitely check us out on Instagram, Beat Club. Yeah, okay. Super excited. Right. Tim's posting about it all the time. So, if anybody has any thoughts, yeah, just come check us out on the gram.
Wicked. So listen, man, thank you for joining me. Coming up next, I'm sure you're gonna like this young fella. He is he just announced his retirement. He's jumping on board with the Seattle Kraken, JT Brown, who's also a big fan of J. Cole. He's coming up next, and I figured how we're going to transition to him is by listening to another banger from Beat Club. This one's from Elijah Gray. It's called We Back, and yes, we'll be right back. So keep rocking with the best. Brian, thank you very much for joining me, my man.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Our next guest has been here before. He is a guy that is unapologetic in the way that he has tried to stand up for what is right. He's had an amazing NHL career of 11 years playing for the Tampa Bay Lightning, Anaheim Ducks, and finishing up with his hometown Minnesota Wild. Speaking of Wild, he's had some of the wildest hairstyles ever seen in the NHL. He has recently announced his retirement, and on that very same day announced he will be part of the Seattle Kraken family as their first color analysis. Soul brothers and soul sisters, please welcome back to the show, JT Brown. What's happening, JT?
Not a whole lot, man. Just like I said earlier, just been busy right now, but I'm happy to be on.
You know what's funny? I imagine like when the Kraken called JT and said, hey, JT, man, we want to give you the job. You're going to be our first colored analysis for the Kraken. JT was like, thanks, guys. Really appreciate it. But do me a favor. Don't call me colored.
No, that I didn't think of that. But again, I'm excited for the new role. You know, it's definitely exciting.
You see what I did there, right?
I saw what you did. Yes, I did.
JT, congrats on the career.
Thank you.
Congrats on the career. That's awesome. And that you're on the new stuff now. But you know, obviously Tampa and Montreal in the finals now. So have you been watching it? And what are your thoughts on the playoffs so far?
I have been watching it. If we're just, you know, talking about Montreal right now, I'd be lying to you if I said I didn't write them off, just like I feel like everyone else. But you got to give them their flowers at some point. So, you know, they've beaten the odds, I guess you could say. And then Tampa, obviously, we know how skilled they are and how high level of a hockey team they are, and they continue to just keep showing that. I think it's going to be a good series. Again, I'm done writing off Montreal just because I've done it so many times and been proven wrong. So, again, I'm looking forward to a good series here.
It's been an interesting playoffs right now. And, I mean, just like you, I've written off Montreal. I consider Montreal like the luckiest team in the NHL, but lucky not in the bad sense. They have just taken advantage of every situation they have given.
We got to stop calling it luck with them, though, I think. Like,
again, but there's like the sayings you say, like, you don't sometimes get it's better to be lucky than to be good, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then there's also, it's like sometimes it's like all good things must come to an end. So is this when it's going to come to an end? I don't know. But again, I'm excited to watch.
Yeah, exactly. Well, your former team, they did something special this year. They started Jamel Smith, Matthew Joseph, Daniel Walcott, which made it the first time the NHL in history had an all-black line playing together. Coach Cooper said he hopes that one day this will not be a story and just be the normal. As a former player, what were your thoughts when you saw this happening with your old team?
I thought it was great. You know, just to like what Cooper said, it's kind of the same, you know, one day, hopefully that is the norm. That is, but that's not where we're at right now. So it's something, you know, obviously to celebrate and, you know, it's good for the organization. It's just good for hockey.
You know, last time we talked, you weren't sure if you were going to play, where you're going to play. And, you know, you ended up playing in Sweden, put up some pretty good numbers down there. What was that entire experience like?
It was amazing. I enjoyed my time. The only thing that would have made it better would be a non-COVID season, you know, getting to see the fans in the building in large numbers. Just their style of cheering is different than, you know, say over here. But I thought it was a really good experience. It was really good hockey. And it's just, I don't know, maybe being, you know, naive and being from North America, we're like, oh, we're going to go over to Europe. And it's going to be, you know, just super offensive. And I found out quickly, like it was hard. Like it was a good league and hard to play in. So I thought it was a really good experience. And, you know, for me to learn even later in my career, you know, just changing the style of game and trying to adapt to, you know, new hockey.
What were the differences there in the Swedish hockey? I heard it's a really, really hard league to play in.
I mean, first would be officiating is different. just the way they call things. I feel like in North America, you get away with a lot more. A lot of stick infractions. But as far as like what was different, again, you see the size of the ice definitely changes, you know, how you play. You want to use that to your advantage when you have speed. But just looking at like taking a shot from a step inside the blue line is way different on Olympic ice than it is on the NHL ice surface. But I just would think it's really defensive. There wasn't as many 5-on-5 goals. It was a lot of power play, you know, back and forth battles in that sense. But again, they work extremely hard, and you can, I mean, you can just tell when you're over there, like they're trying every single shift. Again, it was just a good league to play in, and it was good hockey.
Did your family go down with you, or did they stay back?
No, they stayed back. So that was definitely a challenge in itself, especially when in the finals we had about 20 days COVID break between getting people. We had too many people that tested positive, so we paused the season. So that was kind of tough, obviously, for Lexi and the kids when we kind of had a set date of knowing when I was going to be home. And then all of a sudden we're like, well, Lexi, we had, you know, this many people test positive. So I don't know. And just having that, you know, I don't know in limbo, you know, definitely made it a little bit harder being away from the kids.
So, you know, when my dad retired, he would have played in like a lot of different cities. His body's worn down. He was pretty old. So it was pretty easy decision for him to retire. But, you know, for you, why did you feel like it was a perfect time to retire from the game?
I mean, a big thing would be the opportunity that I have with Seattle, you know, moving forward. I'm not old, but I'm not young either. I guess you could say in hockey terms, we're going to say in hockey terms, not overall in the sense. But, you know, I just thought that, you know, with my for my family, it was the right decision, especially just moving forward with the organization and the opportunity that, you know, I had.
Yeah, good for you. Who did you speak to make that final decision about retirement besides your wife?
I mean, there's a few people, obviously talking with my agents, and Eustace was a big involvement for myself and just going back and forth. Another person, Eric Rasmussen, is someone who I work with and train with, who's played in the NHL, has gone through retirement. I talk to him and just kind of go back and forth. And then obviously, you know, talking to my dad and the rest of my family about retirement and moving forward and just kind of what it was like and, you know, just coming to peace with it, you know, being done playing a game that you've played for pretty much your entire life.
Was there anybody in that mix of people that you talked to that said, nah, man, give it another year. Let's see if you get another shot at inside the NHL.
No, I mean, like to a degree, like obviously they've showed the good and the bad of both sides, but I think everyone realized the opportunity that I had to, I mean, again, it's a perfect way for me to leave playing hockey and allow myself to stay in hockey. It's not like I'm, you know, doing who knows what, you know, when I retire, like this is an opportunity for me to jump right and stay within an organization, a new organization, and kind of get to leave your imprint there. So again, I think it just was almost like a perfect storm of, you know, myself, you know, leaving to go play overseas and then kind of just age, figuring out what I wanted to do. And then the opportunity came. And as soon as, you know, we got to talking and got to, you know, meet with Seattle and kind of talk to them about what they stand for and how they see me moving forward, it kind of ended up being a pretty easy decision for myself.
So what specifically is a TV color analyst exactly for those who don't know?
I am the person, not the one who's saying the play-by-play and, you know, telling you exactly what's going on, more of the description of why and how things are happening, you know, in between. So like the play-by-play is going to be 70% of the time. They're the one who's telling you and the one you hear majority, but the person who comes in, you know, when there's a face-off or after a goal, that's my job. And, you know, to explain and to give my insight on what's happening.
I feel there's a lot of people in hockey that, you know, when they're done playing, they don't really know what they want to do. Were you one of those people, or have you kind of had this job, you know, in your sight for years?
I would say more like I wasn't fully sure of what I wanted to do. I mean, I think obviously one key thing looking into was working in D&I and trying to, you know, work for a team or go to the league. In that sense, I think that was a big, you know, high up on my list. And, you know, for myself, when the broadcasting thing came in, it was kind of right. I don't have experience in this. This isn't necessarily what I know completely. So it was definitely like, you know, like kind of hesitant for a second, but you know, the more I thought about it, I mean, I stream, I'm out there on social media. I kind of put myself in different situations that clearly aren't a one-to-one, you know, conversion over into being a broadcast analyst, but you know, I think it just worked out, and I think it's something that I can be good at. I know I have a lot of work to do, to learn, but you know, that's no different than playing hockey. You got to put in your work in the off season. The same thing for me here, same mentality.
Yeah, you're going to suck for the first couple of games.
Hey, don't say that. Come on now. I feel like I'll be good. Come on now.
No.
If that happens, if anything happens in the first few games, I'm coming back to this podcast. And I'm going to come back and say, this is why I was cursed from day one because of Kwame.
No, you're going to be good. You know why I think you're going to be good? It's because you already have a great personality. Like you said, you stream. As long as you take that job and not, as long as you do it without thinking, you know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, obviously you have to think about what you're doing, but as far as the presentation of it, as long as you take it as, let me just be JT Brown and how would JT Brown analyze this game? I think you'll be fine. And it's interesting because my first job in radio, when I got the job, I was all excited about that. And it was for like the biggest radio station in Toronto. And I remember telling my boss, I was like, you know, I've never done this before. And she said, listen, I'll teach you how to press the buttons. You just do you. Be who you are, and we'll figure out the rest. So I think if you approach it like that, you'll be fine.
Yeah, and I think that's another, you know, positive about going to a new franchise is I'm not replacing anybody.
Right.
I can just be myself. I don't have to, you know, if I took over the Soul on Ice and it's like, all right, well, I know what Kwame's done. Now I have to do it like him, or I have to be better than this person. Like, I just have to be myself and remember that's why they wanted me to be in this position. It's just be myself.
It'd be a lot easier to take over for a
No, you've been doing great things. Great things.
I'm just kidding. Well, you're just throwing shots all day today, eh?
I'm firing it off on all cylinders.
You said when you decided to retire that Seattle was a big part of why you actually decided to. Was there any other like job opportunities that, you know, maybe you were thinking of instead? Or was there a time where you're maybe just thinking, you know, I've been working my whole life, maybe just take a break for a bit?
Of course I want to take a break for a little bit. I would like to tell Lexi that, but that's just not how it was going to go down. Of course, I'd be like, oh, let me just take a little vacation. But at the same time, like, I just feel like with our schedules and with the way that hockey and many athletes are, you know, downtime's hard. That's the harder part for us. So when you're retiring, to be able to jump right back in and to be, you know, around hockey, I think is going to be better for myself and make the transition easier than, say, you know, being home. I think we kind of I think we talked about it a little bit last time when during the quarantine about just being home and how things are different and you're home the whole time. So I don't know that taking a long break would have been, you know, easier for myself to retire than to hop right back in.
Yeah, especially mentally. You know, because it's a new organization, and you all will be like the new kids in school, new kids on the block. The Kraken are going all in when it comes to the Green Initiative, diversity and inclusion, as well as community relations. It almost seems like you were tailor made for this job. Did you feel like kind of like all things were aligning for you to get to be where you are?
Yeah, of course. I think just, you know, the timing of everything ended up being perfect. But like you said, just, you know, I think they're a leader when it comes to, you know, diversity and their hires and how their, you know, their business practices are going. And I think that that just, you know, enticed me even more to want to be a part of that. But also being able to wear, you know, multiple hats, not just being the color commentator, or the TV analyst, like I get to be involved in the community and start, you know, being with their different programs that they have, you know, ready to be in the community and I guess just make Seattle my home and be a part of it.
It's so cool because you're literally going to be able to go into an office and work within hockey and it's going to be diverse. And this is the first time in your whole career where you actually can go into an organization and be like, oh yeah, there's people that look like me and there's all different types of people and we're all in it for the game of hockey. So that's really cool. Any chance we'll see Lexi get involved some way, shape or form with the team in the community doing something? Has she thought about what she wants to do when she gets to Seattle besides raise those two kids?
Yeah, obviously, you know, the kids are, they're growing up, they're getting ready. Lily, hopefully get into, you know, preschool, I think this year. So that'll be interesting. It'll obviously free up a little more time. I know even we were in Tampa, you know, she was heavily involved in a lot of the community programs that they ran as well. So it's obviously something that, you know, is on her mind. And I'm sure the Kraken would love to have her, you know, help out at the different community events that they have planned.
Just not the social media team.
Yeah, no. I mean, she's good at social media, but I think the Kraken have a good social media team as well.
So you kind of spoke about this a little bit earlier, but like, how nervous are you? Whenever I see, you know, players who I used to watch like a few years ago on TV, I'm kind of like, wow, like they're speaking so well, and they must have been kind of nervous, like switching from a player to now kind of, you know, maybe ripping some guys on national television. So speak a little bit about that.
Yeah. I mean, obviously there's a little nerves when you think about, you know, casting the first game and being able to do that. But I just, you know, keep telling myself there's a reason why I've been chosen to do this position. And then also the hockey side of it is what's going to be the easy side, right? Like I feel hockey IQ and knowledge of the game is there. You don't make it to the NHL without having that. And then I tend to think that I'm well-spoken and thought through and like, I think things out. So I think I'll be okay, but it's more just learning the, I guess, cadences and like when to come in, when to just shut up, you know, the other parts. So like just learning that. And obviously I know there's a lot for me to learn and I'm willing to put in the work, you know, to be prepared. So that's what, so obviously there will be nerves, but I think again, is it going to be more nervous than, you know, playing your first game or, you know, making it to the Stanley Cup Finals and playing in a Stanley Cup Final game? I don't think so. I hope it's not. But again, you know, I think it's all about your preparation and I'm ready to be prepared for anything that comes up.
And speaking of preparation, what's been going on with your process so far getting ready? Have you started preparing yourself? Have you started to listen to tape? Have you started to talk to people that are in the industry that have been doing this for a lot of years to kind of get yourself in kind of like a rhythm? Mm-hmm. And also, will you, you know, once you get comfortable, will you try to take this opportunity to not be like every other color analysis? Because I find like, just like hockey players, color analysis say the exact same thing, have the exact same catch lines. Will you approach this and say, like, let me get this under my belt, but I'm going to come and bring a different type of flavor to what we're doing here in hockey?
Yeah, I'll start with the later question or answer for that is I don't want to be like every other color analyst. I think that's the reason why they hired me, with, you know, not necessarily having that experience. They have John Forslund, who's one of the best, if not the best, to do it right now. They have him, and that's why they were able to bring, you know, myself along with him. So I think, you know, being able to bring my personality and not necessarily just, you know, stay in the TV analyst box, I think that's important. And I think that's a big reason why, you know, they wanted me to, you know, to take this job as well. When it comes to the preparation, obviously it's a pretty new announcement. I've done a, you know, practice run with John when we were kind of figuring out, you know, I guess the interview process, but I think there'll be a lot more of that once I officially do get to Seattle and sort of get that part done. But I think it's just a lot of repetition that we're going to have to go through, and you can't practice enough.
Mm-hmm. You know, I advise when you get your feet wet, throw in a couple of new catchphrases, zippity-doo-dah, saucer Banksy, you know, I don't know, just bring in something different. Okay.
See, that's the thing. Like, I've been asked before, like, do you have a catchphrase yet? And I say no, because I don't want anything to like feel forced, or like, if you just have this catchphrase and you just throw it out there, I'm hoping, you know what, maybe game one or two, I say something and they're like, hey, that sticks. And then I'm like, yes, that's what I want it to be. Like, I want to be natural. I don't want it to come off as cheesy or, you know, I just want it to be free flowing. And hopefully I say something and it's like, man, that actually works. Let's keep it. And then I run with it.
I really hope you get a chance to say zippity doodah. I'm really trying to introduce that into the lexicon of hockey, but
Say that, JT. Don't say that.
Please. That's going to start. You're going to start throwing me text messages of like, hey, next time you're on, can you say this? And then I start throwing in zippity doodah and yada yada. Like, I don't know if I want to go down that road with you, Kwame. I don't know.
To make zippity doodah like the most, like the biggest catchphrase in hockey, the amount of guests that he said,
I'm going to get it. You know, and you know what? It's going to be funny. I swear, this is what I'm going to do to you. I'm going to, when you're commentating, I'm just going to blow up your phone and just to make sure you're not on your phone while you're doing your job. I'll start calling you in the middle of you calling a game and stuff like that. Just to test you, just to see what you're doing.
No, you just want me to look down and I see your name pop up and you're like, oh, that's a trigger. Zippity-doo-dah, zippity-doo-dah. Trying to get me to say it without actually telling me to say it.
Trust me, somebody's going to do it once. And you know what's going to happen? It's because Akil's going to be playing for LA. Akil's going to be coming on a breakaway. He's going to be trying to do some fancy move. He's going to miss. And then the analysis is going to say, Akil Thomas trying the old zippity doodah once again, and he loses the puck. That's what's going to happen.
You're going to text me and be like, look, I told you so. You should have done that. So. That could have been yours.
There you go. I'm just kidding.
I mean, I know you don't want to be like somebody else. You want to bring your own originality. But is there somebody that you kind of look at right now and you want to, you know, maybe model your game to say after them, or somebody that you kind of look at and, you know, you think, you know, you want to kind of pick pieces of their game apart?
I mean, there's a lot of good people out there. I think you pick and choose. But again, I think for me, it's just, I'm learning from John Forslund, who is one of the best, you know, play-by-play. And if you can do play-by-play, you know, obviously he'll give me the insight to be a great, you know, color TV analyst. And I think, you know, I'm just more open ears to seeing what, you know, what works and, you know, what got him to be so successful. I think the difference for me now though, is when I watch hockey, I pay attention to what's being said and how people are saying things, where I feel like, as before, I don't know about you guys, but if you're watching the game, yes, you're hearing what, you know, say John is saying, or Doc, or whoever is talking, but I wasn't necessarily retaining that.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're a player and you're not necessarily focused on, you know, the announcing side of it. You know, I could watch the game with no sound, you know, but now I guess it's a flip to switch in my head to be able to, you know, watch the game, but also I'm paying attention, you know, to what's being said.
So So I saw your Insta post of you giving stuff away at the LGBTQ parade. What were you up to there?
That was a previous post. Like, so it wasn't from this year, the picture. That was from a pride parade in Minneapolis, I believe. I'm trying to remember what year that was. It was a couple years back, but obviously we had the picture and wanted to continue to show, you know, our support from me and, you know, my family as well, especially with, you know, with the NHL having their Pride Day.
Yeah. Cause they didn't have a parade this year, right?
I think they are to a limited capacity. I'm not fully sure. Obviously right now, Everything's been busy and we're getting ready to move. So we haven't quite looked, but yeah, definitely. Again, it was more just continuing to show, you know, our support and, you know, from our family.
Also on your Instagram, I seen you rocking this t-shirt and I really liked it. It said, "I am my ancestors' wildest dreams." And you wore that proudly. And as I said before, you're unapologetic in your cultural beliefs. When you think of those words on your t-shirt, what comes to your mind? And do you feel like you can bring that same passion to Seattle? At least let the Black community there know that you are out there representing and making sure that they are welcome in the sport and to that team.
Yeah, I mean, that's the number one goal. You know, I want to make sure that, you know, it's a inclusive space. I know Seattle does as well. And, you know, that's the goal, to go out there and to be in the community and to do these things on top of, you know, being on TV and getting to be the analyst. There's more layered into, you know, what I want to do in Seattle. But again, as far as the wildest dreams, it is like, even for me to be here doing this, you don't know, but like, again, they're dreaming from where things were to where I am today. Mm-hmm. You know, it would have been a crazy thought. So I just think, you know, just continue to remember, you know, where we've been. Obviously there's still a lot to do to get to, you know, true equality. But again, I think, you know, remembering like this wouldn't have been where I am, I myself wouldn't have been okay, you know, have that be the thought. So I think, again, it's a difficult concept to put in, but just to think like even me playing NHL or making these dreams come true, or me even being in the spot that I am, you know, with my kids and my family being, you know, an interracial family, you know, there's just so many things that have come. We've come far, but we also have a lot further to go.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think when you think about it in the ancestral space of hockey, I mean, from where we were 10 years ago, 15 years ago, to see where we are right now and where a person like yourself is right now, it's something that the hockey Black ancestors are looking down and looking upon this and really, really, really proud of stuff that you've been doing and the you know, the way you've held your character and stood up for things that were right or are right before it became this thing that it is right now. Before we go, I just want to go back into playoffs. We are in the playoffs right now. I don't want to say predictions, but what are you thinking is a final outcome?
So basically, what is the prediction?
Yeah, basically.
I was about to say that. Literally,
that sounded exactly like who do you think is going to win? Yeah, how many games? Yeah. Again, I don't know. But to me, my key thing that I'm looking at right now is Montreal going to continue to penalty kill the way they are penalty killing against Tampa? Cause that's a big thing. If Tampa, I don't know what their exact percentage is. Can you correct me? Do you guys know what their percentage? I thought it was like high 30s or almost like 40. They were in the playoffs at some point.
I know they're on fire right now, but you know, we got to think about Kucherov as well.
If Tampa continues to, you know, score on the power play at the percentage they are, it's going to be tough for Montreal. But vice versa, if they can continue to PK, they don't have to PK at the same rate, but if they can be really good on the penalty kill, I think it gives them a very good chance. Is that enough? I don't know. And then in the end, it's going to be Carey Price versus, you know, Vasilevskiy. Two phenomenal goaltenders playing, you know, at the top of the game right now. Tampa in six.
Tampa in six. There you have it, folks.
That's where I'm leaning. I feel like it's just really hard to bet. Well, I guess not bet, but just go against Tampa with the way they're playing, being the defending champs. I mean, that feels like an easy answer to continue to go with them, but it's just hard to, I feel like it's hard to go that way. And I'm just going to say, I have more friends on Tampa than I do on Montreal. So if they hear me and I say the other way, they might be like, hey, Brownie, what were you doing? What are you saying? So I'm going to go with them in six, but I got to give Montreal their flowers here and not say, you know, Tampa in four, Tampa in five, like I've said for every other series. I think they're going to make a good series of it. I think it could even go seven games, but I'm going to pick Tampa in six.
Okay, well, one other thing I would say, throughout this whole playoffs, what team surprised you the most in their lack of production? Which team or teams did you think they should have been closer than they are? Don't say Toronto, please.
Hey, I'm not saying it. You said it, not me.
I did. Yeah. Toronto won. Who else besides Toronto? That's obvious. I'll tell you, for me, it's the Avalanche.
I wouldn't say that.
I wouldn't say that from the standpoint of, I think that was the best series we've seen the Vegas one. I thought that was the best series. From an entertainment standpoint, up and down the ice, constant back and forth. Obviously, there was the blowout game, but outside of that, like, I thought that, you know, that if that was your Stanley Cup final series, you would have been like, holy cow, that would have been awesome. So I don't know if I mean, obviously, given that they had the most points and, you know, their roster, obviously, you want to see them make it further, you know, so maybe that is the letdown, but I don't know if I could give it to them. I don't know if that would be my pick.
Edmonton, for sure.
Edmonton, you're saying?
Edmonton. I don't know if we're going to single out one performance, though. Because I don't know. I'm going to go with what you said. I was expecting more from Toronto. A lot of people were.
Yeah, I would say Toronto for sure, just with the team they have and, like, the depth, the vets that they brought in. Like, they brought in playoff experience. I think they had like four captains on their team. So like Foligno, Thornton, Tavares, and Spezza, maybe he was former captain somewhere. Yeah. So you'd think that they wouldn't lose in the first round after coming in first, right? Like, I just would have thought they'd at least make the conference finals and maybe lose in the conference finals,
I know they had the injury, but it's not necessarily, I think, losing, but more so how they lost.
Yeah. How they lost.
Yeah. That makes a difference. Because, I mean, again, teams come to play, but you have the lead. You have the series where you want it. And for it to completely swing the other way, I think that's what, you know, makes it even worse, I guess. But I think that's what plays a bigger part is how they lost than them actually losing.
Is that loss worse than the 3-goal lead they gave up against Boston game 7 years back?
I mean, it's overall, like losing 3 in a row versus one game?
Yeah.
I mean, you got to say losing 3 times in a row to lose the series than one game. I'm not a fan. I know how, you know, Toronto, Boston back and forth. I remember watching that game with, I'm trying to remember who it might've been. I don't know who I was watching, but they were devastated watching that. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, again, but losing, they had it where they had the chance, but they didn't in 3. I mean, sometimes that happens. You blow a 3-goal lead, you know, you get complacent. You see it all the time where a team just starts to play defensive. So I don't know.
I'm going to go with the Boston one only because it was their, you know, the nemesis. Boston was such a strong team. And it's like, you never thought that they would be up three goals in the third. And it's just like locked down at least one goal. And they couldn't even do that. So I don't, I'm still shook for the Toronto Maple Leafs. So let's get past that. Before we let you go, my brother, you know, we always do our top five at the end, and you've come with some fire top fives in the past. So let's give it to you like this. It's going to be your first game analyzing for the Kraken. You're driving to the arena. You're getting yourself in the mindset. What are you listening to on your way to the arena for your first game that you're going to analyze?
I mean, right now I would, it's different though. Cause you know, I could put top five just from J. Cole's new album. I could.
Okay.
But I'm not going to do that. If I had to pick, you know, just five, I'm probably going to pick Pride is the Devil, 95 South, and The Climb Back. Though I'll pick three from that album. Those are probably, like, I could pick all of them. I just listened to that on nonstop. But I would say maybe, like, also Ramen and OJ. I like that with Joyner. Okay. And then Every Chance I Get. I'll put that as my number five.
Elijah, approve or disapprove?
I mean, you can't go wrong with J. Cole. Like, that was kind of like, this was easier than last time because recently, not just, but it was pretty, not that long ago. I know, although I just found out, I feel like this was news to me because it happened on Twitter. I don't know if you guys saw this, but not everybody likes J. Cole.
What?
Yeah, they were saying like, J. Cole's just not for them. And I'm like, I don't understand it, but I get it. As long as you can respect his greatness.
You have to respect his greatness. There's a guy by the name of Mark Homme. I don't know if you heard of him. Haitian born. He's under the Griselda crew. MACH-HOMMY. The album's called Pray for Haiti. $9.99. Pick it up. Text me later. Let me know what you think, JT.
You're going to have to send me a text. You know I'm going to forget that.
I know you're going to forget that. Listen, brother, once again, thank you for joining us on the show, always being a friend to the show. Congratulations. Well-deserved. Congratulations on a great career. And, you know, you're going to the home of Jimi Hendrix, the man who I named my son after. So you're going to have a great time. And, you know, just – you know, be that guy out there, bro, and just come with something different and set your mark in that city, bro.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate it. Always a fun time coming on the show and listening to the show. So I appreciate it. And I'll leave you one last thing. Mm-hmm. Zippity doo da.
Yeah. I love
hope
it.
Hope you never I love that.
JT Brown, my friends, thank you for being here, man. Thank you. Oh, listen, before you go, are you still gaming?
Yeah.
What are you into now? What's the little game like for you?
Call of Duty. I've been just running Call of Duty. Not really Warzone, just kind of get back into multiplayer. I watch a lot of the Call of Duty League. Crazy. They're getting ready to do the finals. But I don't know. Again, with the move and everything and being overseas, it's just a little less time right now, but hopefully, you know, I still have the time to do it. Just not as much. Obviously, I got to focus up. But also, it's practice, you know, talking to people, interacting with people. Again, I think it definitely goes well. But, you know, also now.
What's the handle on social media so people can
Everything's JT Brown 23. So okay. It'd be like twitch.tv/JT Brown 23.
Can we get like Are you still playing Chell?
I haven't played Chell in a minute. But if you want that, you want to get worked.
I'm done playing one-on-one.
Did you lose Ara?
Yo.
No.
The other day I was playing Kwame. He was beating me. What was it? He was beating me five to two. Yeah. And I ended up beating him 10-5.
Yes. Yeah, I quit too.
He didn't quit. He didn't even quit. He battled.
Quit. I battled hard. I stayed in it.
No, I would quit being, I'd be done playing one-on-one if that was what happened to me. You can't blame it on anybody else. You can't blame
I can't. It's not my thing. I can't do it. But playing with teams, I'm on fire when it comes to playing with teams. But these two guys,
because if somebody else scores, they'd be like, oh, well, you know what? He should have pinched. It wasn't my fault. He should have made the save. We had a goalie. Like, that's your job. Make the save.
Hey, I'm responsible. I'm a responsible level.
I got some time today, both of you guys, if you want to play.
Lodge, I'm ready right now, bud.
Right now.
My Xbox has been collecting dust. And what, aren't you guys on PlayStation?
Yeah, we're
PlayStation.
When I get to Seattle, I will get a PlayStation in my new office.
We should just get a team. I'm telling you, let's play teams. But these guys, they don't want to play teams. And when they play teams, it's just like they just go.
Because they're too competitive to play teams. To me, this is why I play good games. I guess I can't speak for you, but if you don't like playing like the, what is it, EASHL or whatever it is. To me, it's, I like, my satisfaction in playing video games is beating you one-on-one. Like, I can say that I'm better than you. I have too much competitive drive to be like, and then like, so let's just say we're playing teams and Elijah, you score all the goals. And it's like, I can't be like, well, I'm better than you because Elijah was the one scoring the goals. You know what I mean? So like, if I play you one-on-one, so same thing with like Call of Duty, if I win the gunfight, I'm like, hey, you're trash. Like, I'm better.
When Elijah and I play ESHL, like we play with our buddies, like it's literally like a competition between us three, like who can score the most goals. Like, oh, I have like more points.
Like, but the people who can play like the EASHL, they're nasty because I can't for the life of me stay in my position.
Mm-hmm.
There's no chance.
I love that dynamic more than the one-on-one and you controlling everything. And I think that, and you know what? You saying that makes so much more sense to me now. It is the competitive nature of these two, why they don't like to play setting.
I love playing that.
But you when suck.
When Elijah played with me, he was centered. He doesn't play defense. He just goes on his own. He scores, but he's like on his own.
If you want me to play, I got to play goalie, and I'm not going to be great, but that's the only way you'll get me to stay in my position. That is the only chance.
And that's like Akil, but Akil's playing goalie, like, and he's not even in the net. He's in the corner. It's sometimes. It's useless.
You get bored.
Oh my God. It's useless, man. But
I guess what I would do is I'd rather play threes because then you can just hit people.
Threes is fun.
You can turn it off. I can't remember now, but you got to turn off the like +3, -2 like pucks or whatever.
That's corny.
I don't like that.
I did that with Arda. We were on Twitch doing that, and every time I play with Arda though, like, is Arda good? Because whenever I play with him, I'm just like, fam, like I'm doing all the work here, but he's also interviewing me at the same time.
You got to focus. See, that's why if you were streaming, you'd be better at, multitasking while you're playing video games.
Yeah, see, I can't do it. Anyways, man. Whenever you're ready, let's get online. Let's play. When you get to Seattle and you get your PS, then we can all get a game going and maybe we could play 2-on-2 or something like that.
Well, as long as I'm not on Kwame's team, because we can't have the older people together. I need one of these young guys on my team that knows the game.
I'll play you know what? Let's go light skin, dark skin.
Go.
Yeah, when Kwame and I just
played, hey, it's a wrap. It's a wrap. We got it. Mark it. Put it in the calendar.
It's it.
I'll be streaming this one because I know there's going to be some trash talk going on.
We were getting dubs, so I'm confident that
we'll just get a game or two to get so I can see how he plays and want to know, and then we'll be set.
Oh, it's on, people. Light skin, dark skin, NHL. The 22 will be out by then, so I'm gonna get myself ready for that. That I'm looking for that competition. That's I'm down for that.
All right, guys. All right,
JT. Once again, the incomparable JT Brown, rocking with the best. He's obviously our funnest guest that ever comes on the show. And I mean, I think it's really exciting for him. And I think it's like, man, how cool is that, that you can finish your career and jump into something right after that, especially within the industry that you've been a part of all your life. So congratulations to JT Brown.
Yeah, I think the really cool thing is just like you transition from a long career, like from being up and down in the show, and then obviously spending his last year in Europe. Like, it's a grind, and just to be able to get that opportunity to get a job with the newest franchise, like how could you picture it, you know, better than that? Like, he, such a good opportunity for him. And what's special for me is seeing Seattle hire a very diverse staff, and like, it's just pretty cool. I think they're doing the right things to set an example for franchises going forward. And like, being in an NHL organization, you're starting to see like every organization kind of pick up on things, whether that's like, we had a female trainer this year, and like, usually it's just strictly male trainers. And I was in the gym the other day, and they're doing construction, and I was like, what, like, why is there construction? Like, what's going on over there? He's like, oh, they're building like a section for all like the female workers for our organization, for them to like go change and shower and like have their space, because obviously like the coaches can, they have showers and they all have their space to change and stuff. And the females didn't really. So I think like, that's just an example of how organizations are actually changing, and it's kind of, you know, it's making, you know, the game kind of, you know, more inclusive, I guess, if you think about it. Yeah.
Yeah. Great points, Akil. So big out to the LA Kings for being on top of that. Big shout out to Seattle Kraken. Big shout out to JT Brown and his family. Good luck out in Seattle. And I can't wait till all four of us can get our competition going on. But, you know, NHL playoffs, enjoy it, people. Next week we'll have another show for you, and you know, like we always say, do us a favor, check us out on all social media platforms, subscribe, rate, and review. For Akil Thomas, for Elijah Roberts, my name is Kwame, and we are out.
And when we make it, we gonna put our soul on ice, cause when they doubted us, we did it twice. I guess the poop is in the freezer. They tried to get rid of us, but they need us. So I need you like you need me. I need you like you need me. We double up when our numbers come through the TV. Yeah. Soul on ice. I'ma put my soul on ice.
Nice.
You goddamn right, I'm screaming on that beat. I got a match screaming on the streets. We in the club, stadium, and the arena, cousin. Put me on ice and I'm hitting that top. Cheese are dustin', fussin', fighting with myself is enticing. My enemies in the mirror, and he's always reciting the poetry of my power, statistic of my weakness. Shadow boxing with Tyson, I'm trying to show y'all I'm beating them to the punch. Competition on the table, it's time for lunch. Though my mission is unstable, I'm scoring once, twice, three times, and I'm taking hats. Men lie, women lie, progress is based upon the facts. So let that baby shine. They sold the show and older, they live within the grind. Now take them out that stroller, cause coming up is a champ. Prediction of Ali, he changed his name to Muhammad. We changing free to a fee, it's up to me. And when we make it, we gon' put our soul on ice. Cause when they doubted us, we did it twice. I guess the poop is in the freezer. They tried to get rid of us, but they need us. So I need you like you need me. I need you like you need me. We double up when our numbers come through the TV. Soul on ice, I'ma put my soul on ice.
Nice.
Let's dedicate this one to Jade and Linda. Let's escalate to Caddy, crush the Pinto. Or maybe you prefer that Benz, why? That big truck, I don't give a f***, only really want a house for the get by. Let's take it far down on the competition. Competition is nonsense, it's me and my soul's decision. Yeah, I only work against myself. I play against you to bench you. I'm throwing all shots to the shelf. Yeah, the top is the topic. You checking your armor. My wheel telescopic, so I'm steering my karma. The future is mine, like receiving the past from Jesus or Jordan or Crosby, Stills and Nash. We young, and when we make it, we gon' put our soul on ice.
Cause when they doubted us, we did it twice. I guess the proof is in the freezer. They tried to get rid of us, but they need us. So I need you, like you need me. I need you, like you need me. We double up when our numbers come through the TV. Soul on ice, I'ma put my soul on ice. Nice.